You're listening to Drinks with Friends with your host, Madison Ray.
And that guy, Rye.
This podcast is sponsored by Andro DSM, Power Up,
and Susie Sweet Treats. Secret ingredient is love,
not cocaine. So sit back, take a listen,
and enjoy the show.
All right, so this is the second annual Drinks with Friends giving. Hey, everyone.
Hey.
I almost wore tips today, but I haven't ran a stand-up yet.
Good call, my guy. Good call. Let's go around and just do a quick roll call, see who's all here. Yeah. Obviously, you know, your hosts. Mm-hmm. But who else? Apparently nobody.
Don't all jump.
Okay. Some people call me Alicia. Some people call me AJ. Some people call me Junie B. Group. Junie B. Group. Alicia Young.
Hey.
A.K.A. I love it.
Well, to follow that, I'm Krista.
Hey!
No A.K.A.s.
Aww.
Just Krista.
I'm Emily, just a regular-ass person doing regular-ass stuff. That's about it.
Regular-ass stuff.
Oh, hi.
They know me.
Hi. So. I'm known as Pacha.
No,
I'm just hanging out.
She in here.
Well, what's your actual legal name? Known as.
Oh, my government name.
Just kidding. Yeah. We ain't gotta drop our business.
Yeah. Nobody is my government name.
And bringing in the black ass caboose, it's your boy, Dano B. Benasso. Problematic black at its finest. No, I'm playing. What's up? Happy Thanksgiving, y'all. Hey.
No, I'm thankful you're problematic ass.
You fucking better be.
Sir.
I'm sorry.
Wow. Sir.
It was there. It's like a good family hit at the beginning. Okay. I'm sorry.
Are we hitting?
Yeah, we're good though.
We hitting. I'm saying I can get in that mind frame.
No, we don't want to argue yet.
I had to do a Thanksgiving do-over. I'm ready to fight.
So,
listen.
So we've been snacking and just having conversation, and decided to turn the microphone on and catch some of this magic. So first off, let's back it up. Thanksgiving do-over?
Yeah. So I went to two successful Thanksgivings.
To them.
To them. To me and those that live in my house.
Oh.
I went to two failed Thanksgivings. I went to Sam's sister's house. Those of you that know, I am in an interracial relationship for quite a long time, and Sam has one very white sister. Two, but one very, who decided to make a Pinterest Thanksgiving.
Damn.
Wait, can we break down what exactly is a Pinterest Thanksgiving?
Yep. That's when you
fuck
go
your find traditions. Let me make something that I could take a picture of and post online.
Mm. Mm. With a side recipe that I probably never use, but at least I found the picture that I could use it with.
A few of them. So she made a turkey. The turkey was good. No complaints there. As long as it's not dry, though, you really can't fuck up turkey.
Half star.
She's not scared of seasoning.
I think turkey is just a garbage meat, just in general.
Trash. Turkey is trash.
I don't think it's like,
even if it's good. Even if it's good, it still doesn't even like break the top five.
Top five. That's like, but there's so many different options. But a different conversation. I don't hate turkey. I enjoy it, and so this one was not a bad one by any stretch. And then for sides. Let me tell you.
There's a heavy sigh.
So, as I think then, with your opinion on the meat of turkey, we can all agree that Thanksgiving is about the sides.
Yes. It is, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving
all
is
about
I'm
the
here
sides.
For the sides.
Yeah, the sides are what make the day.
Yep.
And these were some sad-ass sides.
Sad-ass sides.
Sad. I mean, like, so there was green beans, regular, and then she had bacon-wrapped green beans, because, you know, bacon goes with everything. It weren't bad. It was a little bundle, you know? Like, it was what it was. Then she made some scalloped potatoes, and then she made some sliced potatoes.
I can just feel the confusion in the room right now.
But was there bacon wrapped potatoes?
No. But she did make
bacon wrapped
stuffing
for...
balls.
What?
Then, like, she made the stuffing.
Like meatballs?
Then she made it into a ball.
And
she wrapped them shits in bacon.
So she wrapped bread in bacon.
I just feel like
and
that's
that
a
was
lot of hands.
Actually good.
On one dish.
Yes.
It's a lot of hands on one.
It's true.
You know, motherfuckers ain't using gloves either.
Yeah, that's true. That's why I have
all
one.
All of her hand grease.
Sam offered me another one.
The gloves stuffing. These days.
I mean, I feel like the cancer that comes from the bacon had to be technically worse than whatever cancer was on her hands. I don't fucking know.
I don't know.
But it was tasty. That part was tasty. Okay. And, you know, you can't fuck up Pillsbury Grands, so that worked.
They couldn't even spring for the King's Hawaiian?
I mean, no.
Hey, yo, let me be real with you though. It was really hard to find King's Hawaiians this year, and I didn't find them, and I was really pissed off that I couldn't find. No, all the ones by the time I got there, because you know some people are procrastinators.
Which is why you was there.
Yeah, but we got to the last minute, and you know I had forgot that we didn't have rolls. So when I went in there, there was none. It was all cleared out. And then the only ones that they had were like, you know, like the big, like super army pack that was like $10. And I'm like, yo, like,
I don't need that many rolls.
Especially when, like, you know, we're not going to go through the leftovers like that. Like, we'll have a little fun, but the motherfuckers is going to sit there and we're going to look at them every day until someone decides to throw them
away. Because you need the dish that one of the leftovers is in. So
luckily,
like,
this year we did all of our shit and throwaway items, so I know that they're going to be thrown away by Tuesday.
Awesome. Fuck play.
Shout out to these leftovers. You know, play. She's throwing out everything. Jess is going trash to the trash.
So yeah, and then she made there was like regular corn, and then like some corn casserole thing. It was like,
I wish y'all could see his face right now.
It was like the cornbread with the corn in it.
The disappointment that is in his face.
So who puts corn in cornbread?
I don't
understand.
It's not how I was raised either, Madison.
To put corn in cornbread.
I don't know. Like, that's not how
what
I was
dumb motherfucker took it. It's not, literally. It's like, not, it's cornbread, so it needs corn.
Gotta be cornier.
I swear to God. Like, I don't need weird lumps in my bread. Like, you know what I mean?
They're like flavor packets.
Like raisins. Like throwing raisins in everything.
So, my ignorant ass family sure sent me a text like, so you have raisins in the chips. First off, fuck y'all. And then I was like, but hold on though, because then I was like, but make sure you save me a plate because I'll be there in a couple hours. So then I went to my family's Thanksgiving and I looked at the spread and I was like, y'all really can't be talking shit out here.
It was a lazy year, huh?
Yes, and I'm looking around like, bruh. So I go, and I'm like, thinking this is going to be better. I walked in, and I look in the kitchen, and I was like, I mean, I understand I'm, like, late, but, like, come on, niggas. Like, I don't, damn it. So I'm looking at Sam, and Sam's looking back at me, because I said we've been in this relationship for a long time. She is acclimated to the black flavor profile. And so she is looking around, too, and she looks at me, and I'm, you know, we do that rude thing that couples and close friends do in a room full of other people, start texting each other from across the room. And I'm like, Saturday, you want to do this the right way? And she was like, bet.
I'm telling you.
And I'm like, all right, so tomorrow, make the grocery list, we'll do the grocery pickup. Da-da-da-da-da. So yesterday, we did. I went and got the groceries in the morning.
An unprecedented third Thanksgiving.
In three days.
This was the first Thanksgiving.
The other two didn't even have
those are warm-ups?
They didn't have those.
Those were family meals.
Family meals.
Yeah. With my family's family and my family, we had meals.
Together.
I didn't eat at my uncle's. I just grabbed a sweet potato pie and took that shit home. Yep. Josephine was like, oh, I made you a sweet potato pie. I'm like, yo, I know we had a rough start, Aunt Josie, but that's why I fucks with you, because you made me my own pie. So I took that home. Life was good on that tip. My mom also had a pumpkin pie. She was like, yo, I got this extra pumpkin pie. You want it? Bet. Thank you. Grab that. Shout out Susie.
You got both of them.
Yeah, so that was the dessert for our Thanksgiving correction that was done yesterday. nice. To where, like... I was like, we can just do a turkey breast, whatever. We don't need the whole bird. And Sam's like, oh, they're like frozen. I'm like, well, let's just get a chicken, whatever. Nobody gives a fuck about the meat. Like, we're here for the sides.
Chicken's better than turkey.
Period. So we baked the chicken. Yeah, we baked the chicken. And then I made mac and cheese with the four cheeses, you know, hand shredded, because we don't do the pre-bag type shit around here, with the bechamel, you know, stirred it all up. Riley helped me out with the shredding, so, you know, he could feel like he helped out. Sam made deviled eggs because the baby wanted deviled eggs. So, you know, shout out to that. We had like sweet potatoes. What else? Mashed potatoes and gravy.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a solid ass meal. We had the King's Hawaiian. We did Thanksgiving.
They
the way
did
it was supposed
it the
to
way
be
it
done.
Be. So then, so does this mean now that maybe this will be like maybe your own little family
well,
tradition?
See, a couple years ago, we had
go to Thanksgiving.
Like, go to Thanksgiving
then
and then
fuck Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And do it the right way.
Exactly. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if it was disappointing now, there's a high probability it's going to be disappointing moving forward.
Well, I feel like it's gotten worse the last few years.
He's straight. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. Like, a few, and maybe it's because, like I think 3 years ago, we did it at our house. So we had everybody come to our house and we did it. And it was the way it was supposed to be. We made it how Thanksgiving is supposed to be.
Right.
And then we went to my uncle's 1 year, and I mean, you know, I don't know if folks are just getting lazy or if it was like what it is, but people just don't seem to care as much anymore. Or maybe now that I know I'm able to do it myself, I'm no longer as impressed with other people's minimal efforts. Like, I don't, like, if you're not gonna do it right, why do it? And then don't invite me for it if you're not gonna do it right, because I have this platform so I can talk shit about whatever I want to talk shit about. And
it.
Congratulations, y'all made the list.
And I mean just to add nail the coffin for the skill of it, I've been to your house and I've had your Thanksgiving dinner before, so yeah, it's pretty goddamn good. So
thank
you. Better get the event
right.
So
together. Right, but see, that's the thing too, is that I don't have to invite people. Like, I'll make the shit that I want, and then if I don't invite people, I don't really care if they got an opinion about it. And if the kids don't want it, all right. So Bria wasn't feeling it. Like, bet we'll take a little ass to bed. I'm still smashing my corrected Thanksgiving.
Basically, sounds about right.
Riley fucked what he told my mom this morning. He was like, "Yo, we redid Thanksgiving because Riley don't care about your feelings either." And he was like, It was way better. That's my guy. Like,
not just it was good. I had a great time.
It was way better.
Yeah, it was like it was way better. Dad made it right. Like, yes, thank you, son. Your mom helped. Oh, sorry. Private party. Bye.
You thought.
Was there pictures taken from the other Thanksgiving?
Why would I want to document that?
No, I know you didn't take no pictures, but you said it was a Pinterest Thanksgiving. So
yeah. Someone took pictures.
Somebody took pictures.
The sister who hosted it is blocked on all my social medias because there was a time when I did not like
her.
Oh,
she didn't know. Now she does.
Yep, she definitely knows.
She knows.
Okay. She already knows.
Like you said, I'm a very honest person. She asked me, she's like, oh, Ryan, like, did you do da-da-da-da-da? I'm like, yeah, I shared it on my Facebook. She's like, oh, I didn't see it. I'm like, oh, yeah, because I blocked you. Like, that's not...
You know what, though, to be honest, when you tell somebody, because I had to block all my coworkers over some stupid stuff that happened, and when you tell, because it was, well, Emily, we haven't seen you on Facebook. I blocked you. There's no continuation to that conversation. There's no why. There's no explanation. I blocked you. Anything
but
else?
Not
no,
only
there's
my
nothing
social
else.
Medias, though, but like in my phone, like, you know, on your block list, it has like Carrie block. Like, don't call me, don't text me.
Don't hit me up.
Any conversation you need to have with me can be done through your sister. Like, that's how it was for a number of years. I no longer have these feelings toward her, but I'm also too lazy to unblock. So it is
right.
What it is.
That's like, an extra step.
You already made it to the block list. You good?
I'm not gonna
There's
unblock
no
you.
Coming. Because
then you're gonna say some reckless shit, like, you know.
Remember, right. Block you again.
Exactly.
Yep. Right.
So,
true. Why would I
yeah, yeah, there's no need to keep that cycle going.
You can just stay in that lane.
Yep, basically.
So, yeah, I'm thankful for do-overs this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It worked out.
We fall down, but we get up. That's
what exactly. Yeah. You know, we gotta clean up what we messed up. I mean, I didn't mess it up, but I sure did.
He said, I'm not taking responsibility for none of this.
So, shout out do-overs. We make it right.
I love it.
Making it right.
Make it right.
That's 2020. That's what it's gonna be right there.
Making it right.
Yeah. Making it right in 2020. Because you've been
that's my
wrong.
Campaign slogan.
You've been wrong these last 10 years. You're punk.
Also, a big shout out to Fighting Burrito for hosting us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So if you're any private event comments. That's what that is.
Yeah.
People trying to get who can't get in because you weren't invited.
There's a couple paramedics. I'm like, y'all should be out saving somebody. Why are you coming looking for burritos?
Exactly. Woo, woo. Get the help of somebody.
I feel like a burrito's not a good meal for somebody.
I feel like that would really weigh you down.
Exactly.
Like, how are you going to help somebody? Like,
yeah.
Or there are some people who don't have, like, the golden stomach that can handle a burrito.
Yeah. Right. So that you have gastrointestinal distress when you're supposed to be out here.
So I've been in, like, a few ambulances. So it would have been kind of rough if, like, the person who was, like, strapped me in had gas. That'd be a little
right.
It's already an uncomfortable ride, and now I got to deal with your gas in.
Right. Because take a you huge wanted shit, a so burrito. So drive faster if possible.
Kind of like listen. Like, just five, here.
Use the extra sirens. Turn them all off.
Damn, all types of trumpets.
There was a conversation topic that was going around that I had to interrupt.
the faces.
So I guess go ahead. Let me just start by saying, I guess, with a question. That, fuck Lizzo?
No.
No?
I mean,
is that the
right? Is this over the Postmates thing?
I don't know.
Okay, I've heard about that.
Catch me
that
up.
Shit is
I don't
funny.
Know what happened.
So I've heard so many fuck Lizzos. I've heard fuck Lizzo from Azalea Banks. I've heard.
Okay,
fuck
well we
Lizzo
can fuck Azalea. Fuck Azalea Banks.
And
she's
heard
awful.
Fuck Lizzo from people who just don't have the license. So what? Which
but I will say though, I will say that the whole Postmates thing, that it was a big misunderstanding and a mistake. I guess like the person that was delivering her food couldn't find her.
Yeah.
And so, and she was just like, you know, F this person, they stole my food. And you know how cancel culture and people are, when, especially when a celebrity is wrong. So this basically messed up this girl's business. Mm-hmm. So Lizzo apologized and then basically made it right. So
except Lizzo has a history of lying on social media because she likes to dox people because that's like...
Yeah, I don't care that much. Emma. I don't really care all that much.
I'm just bringing up relevant information.
I mean, I'm doing it. Okay, so maybe...
That part I did not know, so I'm going to just go ahead and stand over here.
For the most part, I don't care that much about celebrities' personal choices.
Basically.
Like...
Be careful now, that's R. Kelly.
No, hold on. My next name, if you're not fucking kids, I really don't care. Like that.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like if you're not
Drake.
Fucking kids.
Oh.
I mean, if the shoe fits.
We talked about him last episode, so I guess we're back to back.
You know what? I'll give you that one. T.I. is mad problematic right now.
He is very problematic.
I can't co-sign that one. Like, even as an overprotective father of a daughter,
let me break
this
shit. I want to break. Let me break T.I. down for you right quick.
Uh-oh.
T.I. reminds me of the nigga that Damon Wayans used to play on A Living Color. That was the dude with the fucking dashiki top rap.
And he used to make
all
the
words up. He just always was saying them, but he was saying them wrong. It's just the fact that T.I. had the book and he learned the certain ones correctly.
Well, you know,
but it still doesn't
prison,
give
to
the fact
to
that he's still dumb as shit. Like, I'm just saying, the nigga stopped going to school in 7th grade. Like, you can count money and get those things and you have people that'll help you get to where you need to go in life. That shit's easy. Yeah. But, like, at the same time, being a normal person with those simple skills, your shit stopped in 7th grade. You started hustling at that moment. So then... please do us the favor and keep your fucking mouth closed. And stop doing that persona that you have because you've steered us wrong for almost nearly 15, 16 years now.
But he's the rubber band man while this is happening.
Shout out New York.
Yeah.
Shout out New York for banning virginity tests.
Yeah.
Out of all this.
Woo!
Way to go,
New York. Don't mean shit in Georgia where his poor daughter is still trapped. But, you know, whatever.
Right.
Shout out New York.
Didn't she, like... she blocked him from like
she
all
deleted
her
all her shit like cause all the backlash and then you know, of course you got the ignorant motherfuckers is like I mean if it was my kid I'll do it too
but I mean at one
like,
point at one why? Moment she was actually liking half of the shit that was going back at her like she was actually on the side
but can you imagine that being like boy, girl, whatever. Being an 18-year-old person, have your parents put out like, "Oh, I go to my child's checkups to find out about their sexual well-being."
Listen, if my mother was like, "Excuse me, doctor, I'd like to see his dick," I'd be like, "We're done,
right?
We're done. We're done here. We're done here. We're done."
I'll fight you. Came to like my school trip, she'd be like, "Alicia, did you use the bathroom?" I don't even like that. Like,
right? Like, first off, why are you putting my business out there?
Right.
Like, yeah, I can't.
Right.
No. Man, the times that I had to have my mom up at the school, they were like one of the, they were the fun moments, but at the same time, it was like, I knew what was going to happen. Like, she was checking the teachers, so that shit was always fun. Having sleep apnea, I would fall asleep in the class.
Right.
Motherfuckers would, like, make me want to stand. The teachers would try to make me, like, stand up in the back of the room or something. So, like, every year from, like, sophomore year in high school all the way on, I had to have a sit-down meeting with, like, all my teachers and be, like, bring my mom in and be, like, okay, he has sleep apnea. Here's your options. Let him sleep. Or put him out of your class and send him to the office. If you do anything else, we're going to fuck you up.
Oh.
Well, we
black mothers.
Are going to fuck
Hashtag.
Yeah. So from there, it would either be the option of I'm going to sleep through the class, wake up at the end of the class and find out what happened, or
I'll go to the office, you sleep in the office, and still find out what happened.
That was literally how this all started, because when it happened, like my sophomore year, the first time, I was sleeping in the study hall. And it was like study hall, so it was like, why do you even care? But the teacher got so mad.
Was that disruptive sleep though?
Well, I mean, I'm disruptive. I am disruptive sleep. That's what I'm like,
but I mean, I didn't know if it, that grew into that or if
no. It had always been that from the jump. So it's a part of being in the class. She's like, you're snoring and you're disruptive.
Be more interested.
But I'm like, yo, like it's study hall. You're boring. There's nothing going on in here. And she's like, well, you need to stay up. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to. So if this thing doesn't change, I'm going to stay asleep. So falling asleep again, she sends me to the office. And we get to the office, and he's like, this motherfucker won't go to sleep. He just won't stay up. All right, sit in the chair and just wait until the class is over, and then we'll send you to the next one. Of course, I sit in the chair and go right back to disrupting sleeping in the office now. So now I'm snoring loud as fuck in all of the office of the school. The bell rings, get up, put my backpack on, and go right to my next class. Like, fuck you, what do you want from me? So damn, then we had to have this meeting every year from that moment
damn,
forward.
Damn, they couldn't just like put that in your file. Like,
nope.
He's a sleeper.
Is there a file? They always say, like,
what does that file look like? Remember, this is one on your permanent record.
Where did the file go after I left the school?
You know when it comes to you? Right at the end of the year when you graduate from high school.
I still have never gotten that file.
Roosevelt High School owes me a file.
Basically, it's probably like this. It's probably like no bigger than a damn post-it note.
Yeah, my high school transcript.
Oh, no, she had detention twice in 2002. Get with it.
I didn't get in trouble, but I imagine there were some notes about my mouth.
I had a smart ass mouth too.
My teachers tried to fuck with me once they found out I was going to Harvard.
I bet.
Mm. Ooh.
They spill really that tea. Like, fuck Mrs. Smith. Like, she
said, if you are listening,
Mrs. Amy Smith, like, if you're listening, woo!
Bitch, yeah, and I'm gonna add for it, you bitch.
But honestly. So I just think it's funny how after I go to Harvard, so this is the same teacher who had me helping another student write her senior paper. How the hell you gonna give me an F on my senior paper? And then her rationale was, it just seemed too complicated for someone your age to have written it. So I'm like, so you saying I'm stupid? Like I plagiarized? I'm like,
woo! I need receipts. Like, you said,
man, you gonna have to lay that.
Stab that
out.
Bitch in the neck.
And so then
twice.
And then she went on and she was like trying to censor my valedictorian speech. So just really fuck Mrs. Smith. Honestly.
Woo!
I only have one teacher. Woo! Like, just a firm, solid fuck you.
I'm gonna fight her for
it. And that'll be my third grade teacher, Ms. Wilhite.
Hi, remember Ms. Wilhite?
Okay.
Ms. Wilhite, you bitch.
He and I go back all the way to second grade.
Yeah.
We were in the same classes,
okay,
like all the time.
Right.
Yeah. Same teachers. Like, I think they probably were plotting. They were like, oh, these two get along pretty well.
Yeah, let's do that.
Put them in the same class. So we had all the same teachers up through fifth grade.
Right, when I left.
When he went to different middle school.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I remember that bitch too.
Yeah,
we'll go on.
Fuck that bitch.
Oh, that's all I had to say is fuck Ms. Wilhite.
You bitch!
I don't think I had any of them teachers. I just couldn't stand. Oh, I mean, there was, I think it was U.S. history, I think it was junior year. I don't remember what the teacher was, but they gave out presidents for us to write papers on, and he gave me Thomas Jefferson, and I was like, I'm not doing that paper.
Oh, I'd have done that paper. I'd have been a fun one. Oh, yeah.
I was like,
I was like, I have got the paper for you.
Listen, I was like, I'm not doing that paper. Emily, you're doing the paper. No, I'm not. Just give me another president. I'm not giving another president because if another student doesn't want that president, then it doesn't matter. You have, what, 42 of them to pick from?
Yeah.
Just give me another president. Got sent to the principal's office. Parents got called. You know my dad's a teacher, so yeah. That was fun. And even my parents had that moment where they were just like, you know she's not going to do this, right? Like, just give her another president. Like, she's not with it. It's not going to happen.
That's
fought
the difference between parents.
Tooth and nail. Tooth and nail. And my parents were just like, she's not going to do it. So, but he ended up giving me another one. And then I wrote the hell out that bitch. And then he gave me like a C. And I was like, you know what? I guess because I fought.
Right.
Maybe they just knocked it down. That's
yo,
fine. I can't even remember his name. But I guess fuck him too.
Yeah. Sam Chino. That's the other one.
Oh, yeah.
Chino gave you the bag of dicks. Fuck that.
Oh. I'm sorry. You killed her.
Yeah. My bad.
Sorry. They deserve it. Be like that sometimes.
Yeah, they do. Oh, but we were saying fuck Lizzo.
Fuck Lizzo.
We went off a while
back. Long story short.
Fuck Lizzo. That was a long tangent.
Yeah. Oh, I had a beef with Lizzo. I don't understand. Like, but again, yeah. Social media presences from celebrities don't do nothing for me. Like, either you're making dope content or you're not. And I mean, I got no beef with Lizzo. I think it's kind of crazy how she has just firmly planted her flag in American pop culture at the end of the 2010s. As I was going to tell you, like, one of my coworkers, this dude is like our age, you know, early 30s, avid outdoorsman, like, hunts, fishes, all that shit. Huge Lizzo fan. Like, his girlfriend also works there. She was telling the story. She was like, you know, we went out for my birthday. We had some drinks, you know, so we get back home. He's a little bit drunk. And all of a sudden, he's sitting there on the couch on his phone just giggling. And she's like, looks over. She's like, what is so funny? And he goes, I'm just looking for something. She's like, well, what are you looking for? He goes, I'm going to find out who she's dating on the Minnesota Vikings. And I'm like, bro, what? Like, this dude... like, it's like a living, like, red green show, like,
yeah,
that kind of guy. But he's deeply interested in the life of Lizzo.
I personally,
shout out to her.
I personally love Lizzo just because for a couple reasons. First of all, I really love her lyrics and I love her story, if anything.
Yeah.
It's all the way dating back from the fact, like, little she said, bears, you know, like, yeah, you know, she just felt so insecure, like, when she was younger. And it's so funny because, like, whenever I look at, you know, positive black female role models that are around my age and when they tell their story about, you know, when they were in those awkward 11, 12 year old things, I really thought that I was the only person that felt that way.
Yeah.
So the fact that she's out there, and other people have talked about it too, but just the way she conveys it with being a nerd. She was a band geek. I was in orchestra all those years. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So to hear her kind of talk through all of that, it's just like, damn, I really wasn't all alone. So that's part one. Part two, you know, in the last 10 years, especially like when I lived in Yuma for 5 years, I gained like 55 pounds, almost 60 pounds. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you know, I had to get comfortable with my body and she kind of went through a similar journey with getting comfortable with hers. I love the fact that I could go out now. It's like I got on leggings and whatever. So leave me alone. If you're looking at my body, you either like, damn, she thick. Or, Or it's just like, well, she need to lose some weight. And if you think I need to lose weight, help me, okay? Because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. That's fine. And then third, last reason why I love her so much is because I can't sing worth a lick. But there is just something about the fact that when I'm driving to work and I get to belt out her songs in the car, it does.
She can't sing either.
She.
What? Nigga.
I am not.
No, no, my love.
I'm not co-signing that at all. But what I will say is that I feel better when I can just kind of get to freely belt that out. I know I can't sing. I'm not going to never look for no recording contract. It's funny because I'll be at home doing my creative stuff and have my earbuds in and I'll just start singing and my husband's like, Lord Jesus, make her stop.
Of securing the bag, I just want to exclude myself from the fuck Lizzo narrative.
Same here. I'm not in there.
As the other black person at the table.
No, I'm just saying. I agree.
Part of me, you know, it's actually because Lizzo, and I don't know, have y'all kind of heard like No Name and what she's been saying right now? This whole discussion about the who you're making music for versus who is like, who's all like consuming that music. Mm-hmm. And you know, just kind of, I think it's because just super thousand artists. Like, you know, I might be making it with certain people in mind. Like, if I'm performing, like, I'm doing this song for you. But at the same time, I mean, like, anybody can buy my album. Anybody please buy my tickets.
And I feel like that's kind of like the whole narrative of hip hop. Like, hip hop wasn't made for suburban white kids, but
they love that shit.
They love it. So, I agree. Like, you can't really
monetized it, incorporated, and got up and got paid off.
And to reiterate, I'm really just want to exclude myself from the fuck Lizzo narrative. So, hey, Lizzo.
I agree. I'm not on that band camp. Like, I got no beef with Lizzo.
I'm not on the fuck Lizzo band either. I just like the two sides of the coin because I'm a person that loves to see the Libra scale shit. So I like seeing the fact that there are people who want to call you out for you to validate your shit. So if you're not validating your shit, then you deserve everything that's coming to you. So if some two white guys come over and get mad and say, oh, you're getting money, we want our cut, and she has to come back and tell you that no, you niggas can't have nothing because I've already given it to the little girl that I took it from. Then when it comes to situations like, oh, I've been working for a long time under this radar, kind of like what these people, kind of what we old black people used to call, we used to work the chitlin circuit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Lizzo's been working the chitlin circuit for
years.
We old,
like you 60.
Well, I mean, not like we old, but like, you know, like old nigga shit. Like, but you know, like for them, like, you know, that's what they would do. They work the chitlin circuit. Right. Like, we...
You build that underground following and then like, you might go mainstream.
And still, we still have a chitlin circuit. Like, we still are a chitlin circuit. Like, Des Moines is a chitlin circuit.
Yeah.
Nobody's coming here. Still. And when you do get them to come, and then when they do come here, you have to pay now. Like, you got to put that money up. Like, I felt bad for people when Cardi B was coming here because I knew it was going to happen because it was right at the... Yeah, it was just at the moment where it was like everything was so big, so it was like...
I saw your face, Madison. What black acts are coming through after they've made it big?
Drake played a show here.
Alicia Keys, that was like 15 years ago, but I went. But I went to that concert.
Like Drake, the little Cardi B mini show, and then washed.
We're talking about people in their prime.
Yeah.
But the only reason why those people got here is because they're liked by white people. No niggas would be able to bring them here.
That's absolutely true. But that's also because they played here don't know how to do the business to actually do things like rent an arena.
Facts.
At that point, the business is so big that like nobody around here has the tools to do business at that level.
Right. But then
so
again,
it's not even necessarily like that problem. It's a fact.
Right. Current mission.
But I would also say too, you know, that someone had mentioned earlier about how, you know, Iowa's a flyover state. And granted, I work in college admissions, and yes, the school I work at is admission scandal free. We're really proud about that. But I will say that, you know, even when I go to Chicago and like I'm sitting at my table and I'm at a college fair and I'm talking to these kids and they're like, well, where is your school? And I tell them we're 15 minutes off of Des Moines, Iowa. First off, if I'm talking to black kids, they're like, okay, so there are black people in Iowa. Yep. We are literally on the other side of the river.
Yep.
Literally. So there's that part.
Yep.
Some people think it's too far. Some people think, oh, well, Des Moines, that's what, like a small little town. No, they don't even understand that, like, it's an actual metropolitan city, and it's one of the fastest growing metropolitan areas in the country.
Right.
Plus, number one on, I think, the Forbes list from 2018 for cities for young professionals and upcoming business owners. Mm-hmm. You know, facts like that aren't out there, and I think that it's one thing for, you know, an event, someone, you know, that runs venues and, you know, is in the music business to market that. But I think in itself, it's almost like Des Moines, you know, the people that market this city or even the state, they only market the things that they want, like the caucus, like the state fair. They don't market the fact that we have a beautiful sculpture garden, like less than 5 minutes away from us, or the fact that, you know, we do all of these awesome things with philanthropy in the city and, you know, we're one of the cleanest cities. All of these other things are unknown. So, you know, if you're really looking to expand your market, But what I'm saying is that it's like if the city were seen as being appealing to a big star, they'd be like, you know what, put that one on the map because that's a place that I want to go.
So let me also add some behind the scenes like politics stuff. Live Nation has been looking to get a foothold here in Des Moines for about 10 years. Those of you that don't know,
I've been gone.
Live Nation is the biggest concert promoter in the world.
They got everybody.
They bought Ticketmaster. Yeah. They've become a one-stop shop where they do management, agency, ticket sales, routing, all the stuff. It's like
they
the
still
Walmart.
Charge $30 fees on your tickets.
Facts.
Ooh.
But that being said, they also have the power to steer certain artists away from markets to use that to leverage their negotiating power to be able to set up shop in a city. So part of the thing is that, like, Live Nation, I guarantee, has been making sure that certain acts don't come here to make Des Moines
so they can get
bend,
cheap.
Bend
they
over get the to cheap. Their demands. Yeah. So like, wow. they're able to use that negotiating power to say, oh, we'd love to bring you Beyonce, but we can't bring you Beyonce just because.
That's crazy.
Oh, okay. But, you know, but you know what? We'll send her over to somewhere else that's nearby.
Right, like that Minneapolis.
That will drive that distance to go there.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of, like I said, there's politics and economics that are also part of this conversation that have literally nothing to do with if anyone's interested, if the market is interested. Like, the fact that we were able to get something like that Cardi show was somebody on a hustle.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, props on hustling that far. But, like...
For real. I almost wondered, though, with all the backlash that came from that show from the people who don't understand those finer nuances of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if that hustle was really worth it in the long run, because that has to end up, like... The public backlash has to be like a stain on that person's reputation. Because
the next time they want to bring another act, they're going to be like, oh,
"Well, usually promoters are usually good about getting their money and disappearing in the night."
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, how does Bo James still work in the city? I have no idea, but somehow he's still floating around.
Shots fired.
Oh my god!
Hey, after the show, I'm gonna ask who that is.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Like, the people that have reputations.
Yeah.
And somehow they're still
out here doing it.
Doing stuff, you know, because
like Lizzo. I'm saying, yeah.
Apparently. Excluded from this narrative.
I personally have no beef, but I mean, like, she's at the point now where everything positive she does is backed up by people like, well, what about when she blah blah blah? And just like Kanye, I don't care. Yeah. You gonna keep making bangers? Fine, do you?
Pause 1 second. Huh. Actually, I need to thank y'all for a second about this whole Kanye thing. I listened to that show during my second to last road trip.
Oh yeah.
And about the Kanye album, mm-hmm. And I am kind of like you, where I'm really not down with religion. But I do love the music,
yeah.
And but it's like, it's very, very rare that I will listen to a gospel album.
Yeah.
Right after I listened to that show, I downloaded Jesus Is King, and I listened to it. Constant rotation. So
there's
everything.
There's four songs on there that for me are in there.
Yeah, that, I mean, me personally, after with that album, if he could just do me a solid and just get that choir... They own 12 tracks.
Yo, that's what's supposed to happen Christmas Day. And please, God, make it real.
Like, wow. Wow.
Manifest that.
Go ahead.
Just as a gospel musician, it's hard, you know, recovering PK.
I know that's right.
The sentiment of being excited about a gospel album from a Trump supporter who can't sing. I mean, when I think about all
so
of
you ain't trying I mean, to, you ain't trying to, you ain't trying to work for Kanye. You securing that bag, but
hell,
you ain't
like hell to no. I want to be a part. Like, there are so many good gospel hip hop things to be excited about. That like I feel like you could go to anybody's church in Chicago. Hell, you could go to Corinth. Like, I mean, hell is
right. But no.
You reach it. I've been there.
Okay,
you
okay,
reach
okay,
it.
Let me bring it back to Earth. You could go to anybody's church in hell, Chicago, North Carolina, South Carolina, Brooklyn, Queens, or whatever, and get equally as good, if not better, stuff that was on the Kanye album. And like, even people like
good niggas on 90s
gospel. No. So on Spotify, 90s gospel period. Is better than Kanye.
Well, I will say this, and I definitely think you're right, but I think for someone like me who went to church for so long, and then I'm really not into like any like serious religion or anything like that, and I don't really go out of my way to listen to any gospel. For me to listen to hear that album, it kind of opened that door.
I mean,
so I'm more. So I guess now it's kind of like I'm more
album
open
was still
to
a
going
Kanye
to
album. And being a Kanye fan.
Yeah, and I am a
Kanye
fan.
A
Kanye
album.
As someone who's like this. Confederate flag supporting, Trump supporting person doing gospel.
Hey,
and
but
I say this as a person. I mean, I say this cautiously because I mean, I don't want to like miss a bag, because, like, I mean, gospel is still my bag. But if that's all Christianity has to offer is this Trump supporting thing, I mean, honestly, fuck Christians. I'm a recovering PK here, and I feel like, you know, as someone who was raised in, like, the Baptist church, I can say this, like, honestly, like, if that's the best Christianity has to offer, is that the best gospel music today has to offer? Fuck Christianity. It's not that he's not a fake Christian. Fuck Christianity.
Damn. Woo! I mean, that was super real, and
hot take.
Only rebuttal I have to that is he's not fucking kids. Like, but I hear what you're saying, and I definitely understand it.
If that's the best Christianity has to offer, a Trump supporter.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. I'll give you that.
Take care.
That thing
with enjoy your
Yeah.
But did you
praise,
guys?
Praise the Lord, y'all. Praise the Lord. I mean, I still play gospel keyboard. I love gospel music. Praise the Lord, y'all.
Yo.
I just, you know, what's funny about what bothers
Damn,
me.
Damn, she's so not wrong.
Yeah, no, you're not going to get
away
with
it. She really
isn't. No, yeah, no,
she isn't. Like, that's.
I'm sorry. I just.
So some people try to tell me that he's not a real Christian, but call it like it is. He's a Christian. A lot of people are Christians.
He's
and they're doing
definitely
the same
a
bullshit.
Modern American evangelical Christian for sure.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely.
Wasn't he just on Joel Osteen?
Fits.
Yeah, exactly.
And that concert was dope.
I just want to say that Israel is doing dope shit.
That just feels real heavy. Yeah. Like, okay.
I'm gonna hit the room because like. I listened to the album Papa Voodoo like all of like 5 times. And I'm serious, I've listened to it like all of 5 times. Like, and the one time that I've listened to two times back to back. I listened to one time where I got to listen to it through, and then I've had one time where I got to like halfway and I had to stop because someone was in my ear like, no, you can't listen to this. And I was like, I'm just trying to catch the experience of what's going on. But then as I started to get more and more of the breakdowns of what was going on with it, I got, you know, excited because I wanted to listen to it. What kills me is that when I listen to the hype of things, or like when things start to get hype with people,
yeah.
Like this happened with, I think this is the reason why I really don't listen to certain artists, because if they're backed and they're hyped, or
that's
there's
why
a
I don't
lot
listen
of
to J. Cole.
And
that's
I can't listen and I can't listen
fat
to
they cook everything in peanut oil.
It's hard for me to listen to the baby right now. Like,
okay, but that,
and he's really
that was really good.
And he,
I
it
love
is,
that
and that's the thing. Like, and,
the video is so good.
And my legs and my shit is hurting right now because of Hennessy and that song playing at about 11:45, almost midnight on a Friday night in the old folks club. But my thing is that like they're so hyped, and these artists get these way big hypes, and when it comes to me, it's like almost to a point where I like have to be reluctant to not listen to it. And then there will be something that'll like stretch it on top of it that makes me not want to listen to it, i.e. Frank Ocean, Channel Orange. I just couldn't do it because I don't appreciate the love letter coming out 2 weeks before you drop an album. Like, you could have did that after the fact, and then it could have got whatever garnered success you want from there. But with this album personally, I just could not, like, with all of how it kept coming around and all the things that just kept being painted, it was just like, all right, I'm gonna listen to it but I can't, or I'm gonna listen to it but I can't. And then it's like, all right, it's out, I'm gonna sit and listen to it. And then there were so many people that were like, yo, stop fucking listening to it, you can't listen to this shit, why are you he's just not, I mean, he's creative, but let's not do this shit, you can't. And it's just like, all right, bet. So,
but here's, that's where I have kind of a problem with some of the things that are going around, because for me, I can strip away all that other shit, and as long as you are entertaining me with the music, at the end of the day, that's really all I care about.
Exactly.
And because I was at work one day and I was listening to it, and one of my coworkers was like, "What do you listen to?" And I was just like, "I'm listening to the Kanye." How can you listen? First off, leave me alone. Like, just leave me alone. Like, you asked me what I was listening to, and I told she asked me what I was listening to. I told you what you not gonna do is sit up here and tell me what the fuck I can't listen to. In my own little corner cubicle office, minding my own business with my headphones on.
The other thing I don't like is people saying, if you don't do this, then you're not down. Like, everybody's telling me. So, honestly, I'm neutral about it, but I feel like the interwebs is telling me, you've got to see Queen and Slim, or like,
yo, I'm not going.
People. And I'm like,
don't. You can't.
Yo, I'm not going.
So I'm with you there.
Yeah, it's just like, let me live. Leave me alone.
I mean,
I'm not going.
Judge me or for, but like, you know, people saying, if you listen to this, I mean, like, don't ask my opinion and then get mad if I tell you.
Right.
I'm not going.
You can't ask the question, be mad about the answer.
Exactly. And that was the thing. And the crazy thing was, and what I really feel like is really starting to happen is white people are really starting to do that a lot. Mm. And very problematic for me because it's just like, okay, so you're telling me that as I sit here.
As I sit here
in this working and navigating through this white space, you are going to sit here and tell me that I cannot listen to something because of whatever problematic shit this person did.
Fuck you and your Hampton spouse. Came on her Hampton blouse, all in her Hampton mouth.
He's quoting Kanye again.
Yeah.
Yep.
Before he got Jesus. Because Jesus was still a dope ass album. Have y'all seen his new video for Closed on Sunday?
Uh-uh.
How do we get that to Kanye West? Goddamn.
No, he made a video for Closed on Sunday.
We'll get there. It's just funny to me.
That's
like.
Another thing. I mean, kind of related to what we were talking about, Lizzo and the whole, like, who's consuming it. I will say. I mean, so as a spiritual religious thing, I'm kind of not with the whole Christian thing, but I recognize that it's been very important for black people and like civil rights or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just kind of weird to see him like capitalizing on all this stuff that just seems very sacred to black people.
And,
like,
we're people. Americans. We're all about capitalizing.
And just you know,
like, that's what we do.
These,
that's
like,
our culture to capitalize.
It's just very cringy. You know,
agreed.
Very cringy.
Absolutely.
To see
agreed.
People who like don't understand all that.
And what gets me now too is there are people like, I've been a Ye fan since before college.
I remember the day that I bought the college.
Even my friends
album.
Who like are in New York and like go to these historic black churches in New York, and then like tourists will just come in and just like they'll come in during a very sacred moment and they just say it's very cringy and just
absolutely. I agree. Yeah. And I do think it's wild how people who like had so much shit to talk about me being a fan back before he was that kind of problematic, are now like, oh man, I love his new shit, da 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 da, and I'm like,
shut the fuck up.
Yeah, like, thank you. Yeah, basically, exactly.
I don't even pay attention to people that are like, I don't pay attention to a certain people that are like, if you don't talk about Kanye at a certain time, a period, then I don't even pay attention to you as you saying that you're a fan. Like, you have to, if you're not at either, don't talk to me about Kanye. Don't fucking talk to me about Kanye, his music, anything that has to do with it. Because there's people that are really actual fans. There's people that are real stands into it. Like, I remember the reason why I could sit and sit with you and laugh about it. Because I was like, when I missed going to the movie with you guys, I didn't understand why you were so mad. But then I realized why you were mad. Because we went back so far with this shit that like it actually was like a real serious situation. But he has to have it because this is what we do to each other. Like, we have these moments where we'll be like, all right, this is why this is the way it is. And if you don't accept it, eventually I'm going to laugh in your face, or I'm going to give you that father look like, I told you so. And it's always a back and forth because I get to get him just as much as he gets me.
Yeah.
And it's really true. Like, we've always been equal about this from the fucking jump. And the reason why this was so important was we sat down when this album came out, when College Dropout came out. We were one of those kids that were in a fucking small rural town together with no black people in a room. With the room majoritized out, we were already majoritized out. We're sitting there listening to this Kanye album. I think we might have impartaked in what we did.
We were smoking,
time.
Nigga. We've been smoking since been smoking.
Yeah, we do what we do the way that we do it. Yep. And there's nobody that doesn't like us, and that's period.
Yep.
So
with
moving,
the team.
Yeah, we're moving on from that, but we sat and listened to that album, and I mean, we just went back and forth, and we just kind of went through it from that moment. And then from there, it was like, every album has a significance to us, or it matters to us.
That's my exact feeling with Kanye, because those first five albums, it seemed like the minute they came out, whatever I was going through at that point in my life was translated through every single one of them songs on that album.
I can even say that for the most recent one, due to the fact that he's presenting it as if he's found happiness and peace.
Exactly.
And, things like that. And I'm to a point in my life where I'm very comfortable.
Exactly. And yes. I think.
And that's what's the
right.
Dope
and
part
I think
about
I was telling you, Madison, like, I finally got to a place where I went from a very tumultuous work experience to now moving back to Iowa, to hating my job, to now finally being in a position where I actually like my job, mainly because everybody leaves me alone. But, you know, I feel like I'm at a place now, especially with my own self and my own soul, and then being in therapy and all of that other stuff, where I am truly okay now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that is that whole thing.
Let me actually back up the conversation to be a bit broader. You know, especially black music seems, from the business side, seems to really require you to exist in a traumatized state.
True.
It's selling black trauma.
That's why
to
I
white audiences.
Also won't go see Queen of Slim because yeah. I don't need
well shit problem. I mean, at the end of the day,
the screenplay is hilarious.
Is it?
Like in a bad way. It's hilariously bad.
Well, I mean, I was just having this conversation with one of my coworkers because, you know, we're navigating a white space, and, you know, she's Latina. Mm-hmm. And it just so happens that the two people that we actually kind of have to rely on the most are the ones that treat us the most differently. And so we actually had one of our white coworkers, instead of telling the person, hey, you're doing this and it's noticeable, he texted us and said, I know what's going on and I'm sorry. And it's just like, okay, you could tell me all day, but unless you go, you can't call yourself an ally if you're not going to go call that person out.
Go do what you
just did for me. Thank you, but no thanks. Now go talk to that person. And I feel like even in the smallest sense of going to work, walking into your job and saying good morning and having someone roll their eyes at you or something like that, that's trauma.
Yeah.
And I just learned that in therapy. Like, every single one of those layers is trauma. So me personally, I'm not going to go see Queen and Slim. I'm not going to go see Harriet. I still haven't freaking seen Selma. Because I go through enough trauma all day, and I'm dealing with trauma that I've already been through that I didn't know
so
was trauma.
Real. That's so
that
real.
Now it's like I don't need to see that on TV. I don't want to read about it. I don't. It's like,
but I love a wrinkle in time.
It.
Some black people being happy
do
and doing happy shit.
Thank you.
I love that red point. So I know recently there was some.
Yeah, the book was way better.
A pretty a high-profile black media critic. She gave her critique of Queen and Slim, and some people were saying, like, you know, how you go, you know, bash on these two black women out here doing the things. I think it's good that we've gotten to a point where we can actually, I won't say we're all the way there, but we're moving towards a place where we can critique black art without it feeling like
we're bashing
like
it,
we're
or we don't want to,
or
like we're losing our one shot,
can, you know, actually, I mean,
any
I like
art that's
point.
Valid is going to be critiqued though, or deserves
I mean,
to be.
Already,
it should be. It should be.
Already
it should
on,
be.
We're already on a pedestal because I feel like, you know, like for example, Moonlight. I feel like that movie, in order for it to get the Oscar, there was so much pressure for it to be fucking perfect.
Yeah.
So I do like, you know, for example, like, there's like this really mediocre show on Netflix, like, predominantly black cast. I'm kind of glad we're at the point where black
people
can be mediocre. I mean, I feel like there's, you know...
Are you talking about dear white people?
No. Oh. Well, actually, yes, that, well, but I feel like, you know, there's all this, you know, black girl magic, yes, 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 but, you know, I mean, I'm not magical every day, sometimes I'm just lucky charms, you know, people saying, like, black women, and people saying, like, you know, black women are gods and goddesses and everything, you know, that's still dehumanizing, we're only human, we can't,
it's like, everything. Can I just be Emily for, like, 10 minutes, is that, y'all good with that?
Why do you have to save everybody?
Why?
No, queen, no, you can't.
So I'm like, so I'm like, yeah. Where, you know, I mean, the pressure's still there. But I'm optimistic of the fact that we can move towards a place where everything doesn't have to be fucking spot on for it to be accepted.
Preach.
That's a word right there.
No, you just
that's a word right there.
She really has.
So yeah. Genius.
Let's drop it.
Goddamn genius.
I mean, that's gonna be a kind of trauma or just
but think about it. I mean, you know, it's only within like the last 5-10 years that even within the black community we're even talking about mental health.
I know,
just
got here.
You know, it's like it's one of those things where, you know, definitely continue to be
disease.
optimistic about it.
Or let's even bring it close to home. I mean, I feel like I'm surrounded by a lot of artists here. I mean, I'll ask you, at least from my perception of like you guys doing art, I mean, I feel like you guys put so much time and talent and work into your craft, and like, I feel like there are people that are doing less that are getting more.
Of course. But they're funny now, because now that I've noticed how it plays, like, the view has been crazy. Like, I love fucking views of this shit. Like, this year has been so great because the hard work, honestly, if you're doing it the way that you're supposed to and you do it due diligently, you don't have to really focus on who's getting what.
Because when you think about it,
there's so much... the whole situation is saturated. But what I love about it is that there's some people that are going to be able to give you their vulnerability and validations from the jump. There's some people that you're going to have to work with for years upon years of time and look into their artistry and finally figure out, okay, this is how this person makes sense of who they are or how they are and what's given. The people that are microwavable, that you can go and pop in and zap for about 10 or 15 minutes and let them have their little minutes, that's cool because they fade out. And eventually you don't remember their name. You have to go back to find them. You have to search. I'm seeing right now the professional shit that brings me joy, to sit down with people that are like-minded, that are ready to go, even that are hungry, even those that have been working due diligently and can sit and be like, wait, let me kick autopilot on real quick and let my little dogs come in and handle their business. It's a beautiful scene and I love it. And at the same time, seeing those, the zappers, the microwavables, I can't put my worries in them no more, because I can't be worried about who's looking for it, what's being looked for. It's more of a sense of like, yo, as long as you can work consistent as an artist and keep that consistency going, fuck everything else.
Something that's helped me, you know, sometimes when I notice myself getting like too worried about other people's business, that's usually a signal to me that I need to get me some business.
Exactly.
Like, when people say mind your business, I'm like, yeah, let me get me some business.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like when you're really excited about your own shit, you really exactly. don't have to be
worried about anybody else's shit, because you can mind the business that pays.
Is because I'm starting to get to the point where people are like taken aback by my prices, and I'm like, nah.
No, don't you work.
Right, and that's where I am. It's like, I've been busting my ass for years to get where I am now, and I still got ways to go. And if you can't afford it, that's cool. But I'm not gonna sell myself short for all the effort I've been putting in for these past years.
And I think
I'll give you a $5 project. It's fine.
Right. And I think
all $500
right.
Yep.
Right.
And I think
for myself, I mean, I'm not in the music industry or anything like that. I think for me, it's just keeping my soul right. So that's why I like to just try different things. Like, I scrapbook, I like to bake, I like to
exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I just got into diamond painting. Yo, it's really
creativity
awesome.
Is therapeutic.
Exactly. I love the fact that I could have a hard day at work and I could, you know, just snuggle with the book and get lost, or I can work on this diamond painting, or I can just do all of these different things.
Something for
me to pour the energy in, so that way all of those things that happened during the day, that lady that didn't want to say good morning to me or yelled at me or whatever, I could be like, you know what, I ain't got nothing to do with whatever she's going through, so I'm going to just stay over here in my lane, and that's where I'm going to stay.
I write songs about her.
I draw passive-aggressive
self-portraits.
I cry. Sometimes a good cry, man, when your shoulders get to shake, that's a good one.
I love Superman.
Yeah.
If y'all know, like, black queer therapists in Iowa, like the nearest one I think is Colorado.
Damn!
Damn!
So if y'all know,
you gotta go through the bus.
So if y'all know, he recently got a new job. I checked.
Man, you're lucky. Right now, we're good that we're even having black therapists that are here.
Yeah, so. I go to one and she's amazing.
Exactly.
Shout out to Ja'Kari Owens.
Woo! My sis, Ja'Kari!
Shout out to her. She helped me get through some things.
North! I just wanted to shout that out, you know, that's where we come from.
North side, other meth cap. Oh, sorry.
Yeah! That's what's up. Hey, yo, I just, you know, for me, it's been a real thankful year. I just, as a musician, as a creative, I just am thankful to be able to rock with like-minded individuals that are getting to it. Even if they're, you know, even if
we're all in a position where we don't feel like we're at our best, but we can combine and build together and show that we're a shield and give a look, a different view to what we provide as musicians and this content, these things that we have. Like, it's just been great working professionally and being able to work with people who are on the same page and not with like the same side bullshits or the worries about things that are not as important. Crazy. So
now fuck y'all, pay us.
Yeah.
Basically. I just want to say I'm thankful this was on my bucket list to be on your show this year.
Hey!
We made it. We made it.
Yeah. 2019 was definitely, I think it was a year of growth for all of us.
Yeah,
growth and change.
Yeah.
I'm excited for what this next year, next decade, next however long we have here has going for it.
Well, peace of mind.
That's right. There you go. Just want to be calm, cool, copacetic, keep doing this creative thing, and keep bringing y'all hot takes and shit talkery.
I think actually we're going to take a break. And we'll be back in January next year.
Yeah,
you know,
probably a week after
2020 back.
So we'll take some time to you know, take a rest.
Yeah. I think we're gonna might bring y'all some.
Yeah.
Hey yo, a couple of albums. Let's not play these games. Hold on.
Stream these men's albums.
We got 30 seconds. So we'll be back in 2020.
Yep.
Stream Digital Soul. Stream XXXmas just dropped on Friday.
Yep.
Featuring
that chicken sandwich.
Oh, that's
in that chicken sandwich is still hot.
This podcast is brought to you by Android DSM Power Up
and Susie Sweet Treats. Secret ingredients, love
not cocaine.
See y'all next year. Same black time,
same black channel.
All right, peace.